Support for WVIK comes from Kathleen Collins at the Dragonfly in Bettendorf. Using both conventional and alternative counseling methods for empowerment to help create change for individuals and couples. More information is at KathleenCollinsCounseling.com.
This is Ben Goujon
and Kevin Maynard with Quad City Arts.
And welcome back to Talking Art, supported by Quad City Bank and Trust. Today, we are talking art with muralists Nicole Salgar and Atlanta Dawn. Nicole and Atlanta, welcome to Talking Art.
Thank you.
Yeah, how are you today?
Super excited to be here. Thanks so much, guys.
Great. Well, we are so excited to have you here. Atlanta and Nicole are the muralists who are helping to revitalize downtown Rock Island with two massive murals down in Arts Alley. Tell us a little bit about your designs, Atlanta. I've had the privilege of watching these come to life day to day, and it's been so exciting and incredible for me. But tell us a little bit about your designs. What are you painting murals of?
Yeah, so my design features a portrait of a beautiful Native American woman with a large barn owl and three silk moths flying up off the cement wall. My design has a message of portraying your inner light, and it has like a holistic approach of how I have grown as an artist. And really, I picked subject matter that I just really thought would be fun to paint.
Yeah, and it's really just a gorgeous mural, Atlanta. I've loved watching it come to life over the last week and a half. Nicole, what about yours?
Yeah, Atlanta, yours is really beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Yours is so pretty, too.
But a little bit about mine. What I like to do when I paint in different cities, because I'm here from Florida, I like to find imagery that speaks to the community. And In the design, there's a Victorian-style home, which I actually found online when I was doing research on the area. And it is a home that you can actually see in the town. So it's kind of nice because people can identify with it. And I also chose some florals and a bird that is native to this area and finds itself here. And I kind of chose a feeling of twilight, kind of early evening, very soothing and relaxing, but it also gives a message of freedom and creativity.
Yeah, I love your design, Nicole, because I live in the Broadway district, which has lots of those old historical Victorian homes. So when I saw that during the selection process, I was like, that's my neighborhood. And the other day we walked out of our house, which is older, and there were some of those birds that you had painted like right on our electrical wire. So I was like, this is Nicole's mural right here. I'm seeing it live. So it's been really exciting to see that. We'd love to learn a little more about just kind of what was your design process like? I mean, you talked about kind of drawing from the communities, but how do you bring that to life? Like, how do you paint something of such a massive size?
Ooh, it's definitely fun. It's always a challenge depending on the wall, the location, what you're using. Like, specifically for this one, you're constantly on the boom because it starts about 10 feet up above the ground. So in my design, to be able to get it up, initially I wanted to project it to be able to get it on the wall. However, I ended up using a doodle grid, which is an interesting process. It's a little bit slower, but as a muralist, you kind of have to find your ways of being able to tackle these types of, things that happen when you just can't figure things out. So it's a part of being resourceful. But that was a fun process and, yeah, learned a lot.
Atlanta?
For this wall, it was cement, so it's very porous, and I had an option to get it primed a different color, but I stuck with white, and I deeply regretted that as soon as I started, because those white little pores would shine through the paint. So I ended up having to use spray paint, which was a new medium for me, and I'm absolutely in love with it. But I had initially started rolling out my mural with a paint roller and quickly realized that that wasn't going to be the fastest and the most effective method of getting my mural up on the wall. So I sucked it up and I was like, all right, let's try something new. And the spray paint turned out amazing and it worked and gotten all those pores. So that was cool.
That's awesome. Kevin, you also had a part in helping these come to life. You want to tell us about that real quick?
Yeah, so really quick, this is part of a larger process in downtown Rock Island called Rebuild Rock Island. And so Quad City Arts helped facilitate this project. And we started back in 2021 with a grant to the state of Illinois to basically revitalize the Arts Alley area and really add arts to that, but also in a context to be able to push that out to the greater downtown Rock Island. So as downtown Rock Island is sort of all tore up right now, this is the catalyst that really started that and will be the first thing that is completed as well.
That's awesome. I'm so excited to see all this getting kicked off and can't wait to see where it ends up. Let's dive in a little deeper here to this process, because this has not been just, we want some murals on the wall. Let's do it. Hey, you two, come over here. Kevin, from your end, why don't you tell us a little bit? This was a national selection process.
Yeah, so Quad City Arts facilitates a lot of different projects, as you know, Ben, for public art for in various mediums. So this one specifically, we were looking for muralists and we were looking for someone that could do large scale murals. So we put out a national call using our website, our as well as cafe and just a couple other areas so that we could push this out to as wide as we could get. Thanks to previous murals that we'd done, we knew we would get a good response. We were surprised when we got over 400 responses and from some really incredibly talented artists, both local and non-local. So we at Quad City Arts, we distilled those down to basically, when we distill things down for our clients, we basically remove ones that either only have small scale, only have work, a small scale work and don't have large mural work, or just didn't complete the application in its entirety. So we've got that down to still over 200. That went to various committees, both with the Rock Island Arts and Beautification Commission, the business owners in downtown Rock Island, some residents in Rock Island. And they narrowed that down even further. And then we met in person at an open public meeting where anybody could attend. And from there, we narrowed it down to 10 finalists, which I will say is probably the most difficult thing to do, to whittle something down from 400 just down to 10. Our original goal was 5. We quickly realized, this is impossible. Like, what if we did 10? And then this way, we asked 10 artists for a design so that they can submit what they would like to put on those walls. And then we hosted a public event at Rostock so that the public could come in. They were given stickers so that they could sticker on all these different designs, what they liked. And then we were there as Quad City Arts and as the Rock Island Downtown Alliance to talk with them about what they liked, what they didn't like, what was good about this. The feedback generally that we got overall was that people liked being involved in that process. They liked having a voice. So from that, we then met as the Rock Island Downtown Alliance and the Arts and Beautification Commission, as well as some building owners and business owners, and talked about that event. And I am very happy to say that that event is what led to Nicole and Atlanta being chosen, not only because their designs were fantastic, but that's what the public asked for. Like when we distilled down the votes, as far as like our sticker method goes, Atlanta and Nicole were top in no matter what way we ranked it. If we just looked at total number of stickers, like number of votes, or if we weighted them 1, 2, 3, like Atlanta and Nicole were the artists. And so being able to make that phone call to both of them and tell them, hey, this is, we're moving forward with you. We want you to, for Atlanta, we want you to come to downtown Rock Island and, paint something in your own backyard. And then for Nicole saying, hey, we want you to come to the Quad Cities was probably that's the best part of my job. I mean, being able to tell somebody hey, you've been selected for this mural is huge. And I will say making that call to Atlanta because she is local and because just seeing her being able to put up a design that was entirely hers was something that was just truly special. And I'll say getting to see that come together and finally seeing that completed it's stunning. So it's been really cool from start to finish.
Well, yeah. And how does that for the two of you, how does that feel, you know, to know, like, in these big national calls, you're competing mm-hmm. against hundreds of other artists. Like, there's got to be some satisfaction with, like, I got picked. Yay!
That is huge satisfaction. I had convinced myself I wasn't going to get it, so that way I wouldn't get heartbroken. So sure. when I got it, it was just all that better.
I do that with a lot of things, too.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. I try to look at it not as competing, but just, you know, stylistically, everyone has a different style, so you're kind of showing your vibe, and it resonated with Quad City Arts and also the community, which is really special. And that, I find, is so amazing, because that's not usually how things work out when they choose the artists to come into different cities. Sometimes they give the community a voice, but that is really an amazing initiative that you guys put together to have them choose. And it makes me feel even more special that the community chose my design. And so they want me to be here, which is lovely.
Yeah, I do have to give a quick shout out. I mean, this is a process that Quad City Arts has always really, like, wanted to take, to be able to, like, create this with our community. But, like, we were given this opportunity thanks to the Rock Island Downtown Alliance and the Chamber of Commerce in the city of Rock Island, because when we pitched this idea, you know, they allowed us to do it and then went with us on it. Because I will say, for a lot of people who know about bringing into, like, sort of the public into some of these big things, it complicates it. It makes it more difficult at times. But I think the end product is really worth it. So I do have to thank the Chamber and the city for allowing us to sort of test this method out.
Yeah, and it was so effective. And I went to the event at Ross Talks, and how many people from the community showed out and showed up to be able to be a part of that process. You know, so often you go to, like, a city meeting or something, and there's two people that yeah. show up. But the place was packed, and there yeah. were people outside waiting to get in. So it was really exciting to see how invested the community was in that selection process. Yeah. And I loved what you were saying, Nicole, about, you know, kind of just offering that up. Like, in my old acting life, I always thought of auditions as that of, like, they have a problem. I am offering a solution. You know, my design, it's not a reflection on me not getting a job. It's not a reflection on me personally. It's just, I'm offering up something for you. And it might fit, it might not. But, you know, you have to, because there's rejection in the arts. Of
yeah.
people not selecting you or not getting chosen for a work. How do you deal with that when you submit to something and don't get picked?
I like to think of it as redirection instead of rejection, because a lot of times, you know, when you think of rejection, it's such a negative connotation, but redirection is, okay, this didn't work out for me, there's something else. So I like to view it that way.
Yeah, I see it as a growing opportunity. If I get if I'm not selected, then it's something I need to improve on. And so I've been through that phase a lot where I'm like, okay, I didn't get picked. I need to get better. I need to work harder. I need to do more of this. And then maybe I'll set myself up for a better place in the future. And I did that and I achieved that. So that was very cool.
Excellent. Yeah. And
I do have a quick question for both of you. Obviously, like, we want to dive into how you got involved, like, in mural painting and, like, that start. But for this project, both of you, for various times, have used a doodle grid. So one, if one of you could explain, like, how that process works, and then two, you both took different approaches to that doodle grid. So can you talk a little bit about that? Because I find this to be incredibly fascinating.
Yeah, I think the doodle grid is super confusing to a lot of people at first, because they're like, oh my God, what is she doing? She's just going crazy on that wall.
Yeah, so tell us, like, what it is for those who haven't seen one.
Yeah, so the doodle grid is just an organic grid, and it's just a method of applying a design blown up on the wall. So I do all my crazy doodles, and I use that as a moment to just kind of free flow whatever's on my mind, whatever animal or silly thing. So I have fun with it. I like to keep my doodles really tight and close because I have a lot of detail in my designs, and the tighter I keep those doodles, the more opportunity I have to connect my line work. So after I apply that doodle on the wall, I take a photo of it, and then I overlay my mural design on top of that photo in a program like Procreate. I just create, like, a transparent layer. And that allows me, when I'm up on the wall, I'm like, okay, the owl's head is from this frog's eyeball to this big toe. And it helps me, so I keep my place on the wall. If I were to do a regular grid, box grid, I'd have to count the boxes, and I could easily lose my place on that wall. So the random shapes just kind of help me figure out where I'm at, so I don't have to keep stepping back.
Sure. And you had mentioned earlier you also used a doodle grid for this, Nicole, but your doodle grid was very different than Atlanta's doodle grid.
Yeah.
So. That's the beautiful part about it, is that everyone's doodle grid is different and they choose the shapes that they want to use to follow. And for me, I kind of worked with more angular shapes because it helps me in the way that I process how the drawing goes up. It helps me kind of figure out and tie things together. And I love that Atlanta's process is putting things kind of close together because it's super tight. So that's very interesting and something that, you know, I might think about doing in the future, because there were some points where I kind of got lost when I was doing mine. And I just kind of had to improvise. The way that I do my doodle grid, outside of it just being angular shapes, is I create a line drawing on Procreate. I just literally outline my image on a different layer, and then I take that layer and overlay it. I take a photo, and that's the thing with the doodle grid, is you, at least for me, I have to take a straight on shot of the doodle grid, put it in Procreate, and then put that line work layer on top of it and follow that as a guide.
Yeah. I love hearing the way you guys incorporate technology into painting, which seems like such a visceral, hands-on thing, but yeah, you have all these tools at your disposal now, you know, as artists that didn't exist 20 years ago, which for me always gives so much more like the people that were doing murals 20, 40, 50, hundreds of years ago. It's like, oh my gosh, how did you do that?
Yeah, I will say what I loved about the doodle grid, especially with Atlanta's, is yours went up first. And we had people that would stop by the office being like, this wasn't in her design. there's more that's going to be happening. Like, this is just step one. This is the process.
Trust the process.
Yep.
So one thing you mentioned, Nicole, about, you said, use the phrase getting lost. And I would imagine as a muralist working on something, because your design is what, 30 by 60 Atlanta with a little bit of overflow out of that. And yeah. I don't remember the exact dimensions of yours, but it's about the same.
It's like 28 80, by 82. 80.
Yeah. Like these are huge pieces and you're working, you know, 2 feet away from it. Like, how do you kind of navigate big picture of the mural versus the small detail work? Because I imagine it kind of takes a little bit for your brain to jump back and forth in that.
I know. I think just lots of practice. I've done so many projects where I can plan out in my head what exactly I need to do, the steps I need to take to achieve the look I want. So.
Yeah, it's also figuring out how to block in big sections first, too. And navigating that so that you start to kind of hone in to where all the shapes are and it's less confusing. But also when you're on a boom, it's hard to kind of step back. So I do find myself, even though we're really close to the wall, I find myself booming back to be able to take a photo of what I'm looking at. And then as I'm working up close, I look at the photo that I took and then I make the changes from there.
Sure. That's awesome. So talking about lots of practice, Atlanta, I would love to find out more with both of you about kind of your careers as muralists and how you became a muralist, how you started this profession. It's a, you know, it's a very specific thing being a muralist. So how did you get your start, Nicole?
I'll try to summarize this because it's a little long. I come from a fashion background. I was in the fashion industry for about 7-8 years. And I found myself wanting to do something bigger and make more of an impact on communities and working with the youth. And not to dive too deep into it, but I had a loss. I lost my brother in 2014. to gun violence, and that really jolted me into wanting to work more with kids that didn't have opportunities to be able to work through the arts, and also just wanting to be able to do community work with kids and show them ways to, like, be creative and put themselves into positive outlets. So that kind of started the public art wanting... but from there, I was also living in New York at the time, and the first project that I did was also working on a community mural and collaborating with other artists. And from there, I just became totally engulfed in that world, and I saw how people responded to public art, and not a lot of people have access or they feel intimidated walking into institutions, museums, galleries. So to be able to bring that art to people on the street that can just walk by and be able to see it and be able to appreciate it and see that someone put so much love into this project that they did is something that I've seen that really fuels me into wanting to continue to do what I do. And I love the positive changes that it's made in the communities that I've worked on.
And you have gotten to do this in all over the world.
Yes, that's something for me too, is that I love to travel. I grew up traveling, and I was trying to figure out, okay, how can I do this in other countries? How can I move around and be able to bring this to other people? And I have just kind of found my way through that. It started bare bones, and now I can say that I've been to many countries, and I strive to go to more and bring art to other communities.
That's awesome. I love it. How about you, Atlanta?
So I've always loved art. I've always had a natural gift at it. It's always been, like, in high school, I took, I think, 4 art classes my senior year. And did AP and all the good stuff. I did summer college programs, Kansas City Art Institute my junior year, and then right out of high school went to Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. I did drop out, which I'm ashamed of, but I'm still on a good path, so that's okay. I quit doing art for a while, and I had this little voice inside of me. I did a lot of traveling after I dropped out. I had this little voice inside of me. Every time I saw public art in these places I traveled to, I had this voice that said, you can do that. You can do that. And a part of me just wanted to make that a reality for myself. So I started small, and I just started painting storefront windows. And that quickly grew into where I painted storefront windows all year round, and I did art full time. And then those windows led to interior murals, and then those interior murals led to sign painting. I learned a lot of sign painting skills, and then it's just kind of evolved organically into doing large exterior works. And now this whole summer, I think I've got like 15 exterior murals to do, and I'm booked out until December, and that is like the coolest thing ever.
That's incredible. Atlanta, when I hear you talk about things, I think what is mostly impressive to me is, you know, when you talked about this project, you said, oh, I realized I couldn't roll, so I'm going to spray paint. And you said it's really like the first time working in that medium, at least at this large of a scale. Hearing you talk this, then you're like, oh, so I learned some sign painting skills. You sound sort of fearless in picking up a new skill, and that seems to be like a very much like an artist trait. Because when I hear that as somebody who is, you know, very much like type A, that makes my heart like start racing. the idea of being like, oh, I've just, you know, it's this very large mural, like, oh, I can figure out spray painting on this. And I'm going to say, like, it's so impressive. Like, I would have just assumed that was your medium all along. So I'm impressed with that sort of like that fearlessness that I think each of you have.
Yeah, I feel like I'm fearless. I have a lot of confidence, and that's just through doing it over and over again. I'm always a student, and I'm always trying to grow and learn, and I visually learn. I follow a lot of mural artists, so I'm kind of like seeing how they do things, and I'm like, ooh, okay, I'm going to try that next time.
So. That's a great segue into something, because I'm curious for both of you, who are you inspired by? I mean, are there Are there artists like, you know, that you grew up really enjoying? Are there people that you're watching on Instagram and social media now that you're inspired by?
I always pronounce this wrong, and he's one of my absolute favorites, and it's very different style because his is more, well, you can tell he was like academic painter, but he's very like more graphic, but Mr. Ayres. And he's from Barcelona, Spain, and he's just outstanding color theory, just stylistically, his work is absolutely incredible. So he's a really big inspiration for me. And then some local artists from Miami that really inspire me, there's Rainier, who's also a really great friend. He's just an incredible, absolutely wonderful painter and wonderful person. And I try to find people with different styles, and I love colors, so that really inspires me as well. Salvador Dali, some classics, which I also love, but I try to find people in the now and people in my community, and I try to surround myself with those people that inspire me and push me to continue to break boundaries and move forward and continue to learn and grow.
How about you, Atlanta?
Yeah, some of my favorites I follow. There's this older gal named Anat Ronan. She does like ultra realistic flowers and native species birds and animals, which I've been doing a lot of. I think that's important in the community to kind of reflect what's in the community. And she does a lot of all brushwork. And then there's a few other artists I follow who do the ultra realism in spray paint. So that's when I'm like, oh, that's possible. That is something that is achievable. So when I did my owl and I achieved that like realistic look with my owl, I was like, oh my God, I can do it. It's so exciting.
Make it work.
Yeah, and then there's some younger girls like my age. There's one, Sophie Tuttle. She's amazing. And I really love her work. It's beautiful. And that shows me that I am capable of doing that because she's a reflection of me in some way. I see myself in her. So that's cool.
That's awesome. It's so wonderful. Like when you see those other artists doing things and you said this and like, I can do that too. You know, it by looking at other people doing it, it gives you the belief of, oh, it can't be done.
Yeah.
This is not some impossible thing of, oh, a master. Like, no, not regular people, but,
sure,
you know.
Other talented people, yeah.
Yeah, it's just been so incredible to watch the two of you work. We are so lucky to have you both doing this in our community. And it's so inspiring to me, Atlanta, to hear you say, like, you have 15 external murals lined up this summer, that our community is supporting this kind of work, you know, because it's like murals aren't cheap.
No.
It's not cheap to do a big mural, and that we have people in our community who are willing to invest in making our community a brighter, more vibrant place. You know, that says a lot about the Quad Cities.
It does.
And also just about the fact that we have the talent here to do that. So that's very exciting. What's next? So you're finishing this mural. You've got other jobs lined up. Where are you painting next, Atlanta?
Today I'm going to paint on a barge. We're painting some spuds for Living Lands and Waters. They have a classroom barge where they engage students in the community, teach them about the river, teach them about recycling and pollution, which is very cool. So I'm really proud to help them out. And then next I'm going to Miss Faye's, and I have an interior mural, which is going to be really nice, a good break from the summer heat and being outside. So I'm very pumped about that. And then quickly after that one, my first job, actually next to the new Moline mural, that little building that used to be Jimmy John's, they're turning it into a tiki bar. So I get to do some sign painting on that building, and it's going to be really cool, and it's going to reflect into the big Moline mural.
Awesome.
So that's going to be sweet.
Very cool. Very cool. How about you, Nicole?
I just side note, I'm also really excited and happy to hear that Atlanta is so busy and that this is happening for the Quad Cities, because that's amazing to hear that people are supporting art here outside of the project that you guys are doing. For me, I also have my own company where I do client work. So I have a few client projects coming up, some signed painting, a little bit of interior murals, some exterior ones, but there's a big project coming up, which I can't say yet, but it's in Orlando, so it might give you an idea, and I'm really excited about that. So.
Yay.
That's awesome. I do have a couple quick questions sort of regarding some of the process. One thing I'd like to know is, what is your advice for a younger artist who is looking to get into this work, who maybe, you know, right now we have our Metro Arts Youth Apprenticeship Program that's meeting and painting a couple murals here in the Quad Cities. So they're working with a lead artist. They're very much just getting started in what could potentially blossom into a career or maybe just as a hobby. What advice would you give to one of them who is, you know, 15 to 20 area? What advice would you give them if this is something that they wanted to do full time?
I think the most important advice that I wish I would have kind of taken when I first started was to explore, and experiment, and to find a mentor or someone that you align with their work and want to learn from, and sit and watch them paint, learn little tricks from them. Try to get involved in your community, and if you can't find, a lot of people ask me, like, how do I paint my first mural? Like, where do I go? Where do I look? When I first started, I started researching public art projects, and some people can find out about that initiative, which is amazing. It's a little combination of research, putting yourself out there, asking other artists for advice, and just trying to find your confidence, and patience is a big one too.
I would agree with that. I was gonna say patience is a huge attribute to being an artist. I've been a full-time artist for 4 years, but I've been doing work in the community probably for 12. So it's been a lot of learning and experience and consistency. And when you're younger, really dial in and hone in on learning skills. Don't expect to be successful overnight. It takes a long time to build relationships with the community, and relationships are huge. I have a lot of contacts, and that's what's helped me be busy. And to be a full-time artist is just through knowing the right people. So it's really important.
Excellent. I do have one more question. I think it's one of the things that it can be challenging about working in the arts is, for artists, I mean, it is, you're setting your own schedule, which means you also sort of have to set your own boundaries so that you aren't constantly working. But in the arts especially, I think that we sort of push ourselves into burnout because, you know, we're pushing forward as hard as we can. So I'm curious, what are the things that you do that help, you know, stave off burnout, or just that you do just strictly for your own mental health?
Well, I will say, working with Nicole, which it is so cool to do a mural right across from someone else. that has been just the neatest experience ever. But I will say what I've learned watching her and listening to her and interacting with her is that we both agree that you have to take care of your body. So we've been eating a lot at Healthy Harvest, getting smoothies and eating good vegan food. It's really good to nourish your body. So that's super important. I do a lot of like stretching and yoga when I go home. When I'm not working on a major project, I'm doing CrossFit or I'm running. I try to take care of my body as best as possible, and that keeps my mind healthy too. So all of those attributing things. What do you say, Nicole?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. I think that stretching is a very big one. I also find rituals that I do at home, I try to implement some of them while I'm here. And in the morning, the first thing I try to do is find some sort of mindfulness practice, some form of meditation, whether it's 5 to 10 minutes, to kind of set my mind up for success and have a little bit of clarity in the morning before I go to the wall or take on a big project. And nutrition is huge for me. And also finding those moments when you're on the wall and you're feeling overwhelmed or stressed out or something's not really working out for you, to kind of take a moment and take in your environment. Look at the birds, look at the sky, look at the colors, look at the buildings around you, feel the energy around you. I see Atlanta painting, and I'll take a moment and just kind of watch what she's doing. So it's kind of nice to get out of your own head sometimes to kind of bring yourself back and feel more grounded.
I also find that having a laid out plan in my mind of how I'm going to achieve the mural keeps me from burnout. Mm-hmm. So I'll realistically and give myself a goal for that day. So I'm like, okay, today I'm just going to get this section done. And if I get more done, great. If I get less done, that's all right too. But that helps me so I don't feel overwhelmed. Having a plan.
Yeah, it's also important to not be so hard on yourself, because sometimes you put up a plan and you're like, man, I didn't reach that. And it's kind of like, hey, man, like, look how much I achieved today. So it's also finding moments of like being nice to yourself. But planning is great. I think sometimes at times, yeah, you can get like overwhelmed, but also kind of hard on yourself when you don't reach that goal. So it's also finding time to be nice to yourself.
I think we also get a lot of curveballs. So weather, it could rain. And then, oh my God, I'm a day behind. And you're like, shoot. So then you have to make up for that. Or it's really hot and the sun is just brutal that day. I think I got heat stroke last week. I had this major migraine where I couldn't think or breathe. I could breathe. But like, I couldn't bend over to get my spray cans without my head like pulsating. So that was a lot of fun. And so, yeah, I just sat back, drink some water, rest a little bit more that night, and then just come back to it.
Paying attention to those signs is important.
We don't want either of you falling off a lift.
Yeah, nobody wants any of that.
No, I loved hearing you both talk about organization, because I've thought with both of you, like, one thing that often gets overlooked with artists is having the business side of your business, of being an artist, on point. And you guys both do such a great job of that, both like on your social media and your websites, and like, you can't do that without being organized, you know?
Yeah.
It's something that I think a lot of people just overlook as being an artist, but to be a working artist, you need to have that tight.
And it's organization, time management,
yeah,
being resourceful, patient, all of that is super important. Yeah, it makes a big difference.
Yeah. Well, thank you both so much for joining us here today. It's been such a pleasure, like I said earlier, watching you work day to day and seeing these pieces come to life. Thank you for coming to our community, Nicole. It's been such a pleasure having you here. And Atlanta, a pleasure to see you get to do such a great, amazing project as we kick off this revitalization of downtown Rock Island. Once again, to find out more about Nicole, you can check her out on Instagram at nmsalgar. That's S-A-L-G-A-R. And you can find out more about Atlanta by going to her website, www.atlantadawn.com. Nicole, Atlanta, thank you once again for being our guest today on Talking Art. Thanks again to Quad City Bank and Trust for supporting Talking Art. And Kevin, shall we send them off?
Yes. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much.
Appreciate you guys. Grateful for you.